This podcast replay is brought to you by Welton Rayom. Call for a free consultation, 954-966-4646. At Welton Rayom, they don't get paid unless you win. Welton Rayom handles property damage claims due to a hurricane. Welton Rayom can help, 954-966-4646.
All right, David, before I go with you, let me take care of a little business. Hey, Frank Piega. Get the hell out of here. Sean, block his stupid ass. First of all, this is called the Big O Radio Show. I talk about whatever the fuck I want to talk about, asshole. So if I want to talk about politics or I want to talk about crypto, music, entertainment, or sports, it's my fucking show, dude. You get the hell out of here. So I don't care, bro. I'm not here. I'm not put in a corner. I don't work for a corporation. I work for myself. So, too bad if you're a Democrat or Republican. I slam both. I don't care about either side. But I'm smart enough to tell you the stupidity of Democrats and the stupidity of Republicans. That's it. You're butt hurt. Don't listen. Don't watch. Get out of here, bro. I don't give a shit. That's the problem with some of you. You think I get nervous or worried about it? I don't answer to nobody. I'm my own man. I've always been my own man. Even when I was on a radio station run by a corporation, I'm my own man. Frank, you're out of here, clown. This is my show, not yours. So if I want to slam Biden or Trump or anyone I want to slam, I'm going to slam them, including you, Frank. So...
There you go, Big O. I second that.
Some asshole's going to come out and tell me what to talk about. Get the hell out of here, bro. You don't like it? Get out of here. You want great Dolphin information and heat and all that? I'll give it to you. Been doing it for 30 years. I talk about everything else. You don't like it, bro? Go find the segments and download them if you want. Hold it there. Let's go.
You know,
yeah, I mean,
last night we were watching the Big Ocean.
Like, you know, like they think they're gonna run your show and oh, I'm here for sports. Well, screw you, bro. I'm here to talk about whatever the hell I want to talk about. And if I want to talk about my foot operation, I'll talk about my foot operation. If I want to talk about my diet, I'm gonna talk about my diet. Too fucking bad, bro. The hell are you, Frank? There's one rule on this show, bro. Don't tell the host what to do. Okay, that's not going to end well for you. I'm 57 and I'm my own man. I don't need to answer to anybody. Not to you, Frank, clown. All right, let's go. How you feeling, bro? Good?
I'm doing all right. I'm feeling, I think I'm feeling a little bit better than you, but I think I'm feeling pretty good after you got that round off your chest.
I love unloading on these assholes who think like, you know. Yeah, it's like, bro, I've been working at this for 34 years. You think I worry about people like you? I don't care, bro. You don't want to follow me? Go ahead. Get lost. I don't care. You know, it's like some other – it's like, bro, I'm not here to compete with anybody. What I do, nobody does. We're a full talk show. You know, we're not just one sport or whatever. We're a full talk show. So I'm not here to compete with anybody. Either you accept who I am and how I talk about things and maybe enlighten your ass on a lot of things. But if you don't want to because you're closed-minded, I can't help you, dude. I can't help you. So, you know, it's just typical of these kind of people, bro. Anyway. All right, bro. So,
also, you see on Twitter all the time, people just comment. Like, I mean, I cover the Dolphins, but if I want to go, if I'm tweeting NBA playoffs because I'm watching it on a given night, if I want to tweet up a messy goal, anything else. Yeah.
You're the football guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Stick to football, bro.
Yeah. Like, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, dude. Yeah, because that's all I know. Yes, exactly. Thank you. Fantastic. It's just that they do the same thing to me in crypto. And it's like, yo, bro, my portfolio is up 60%. The hell are you talking about? Yeah, I actually do know what the hell I'm talking about, but whatever. Let's get into a couple pre-draft things that are, and it's all Tyreek involved. First of all, on this podcast, where he talked about Mike McDaniel calling him out. You heard the soundbite, right?
Yeah. that he appreciated it. And yeah, that he feels it makes him better and all that.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think of all that?
Good on Mike McDaniel. Because I think sometimes people see him from the outside and think, does he actually go and talk to his star players and get it into their ass and chew them out? And so good on him that you know, we know that he does. I think that he did that. I mean, I know a lot of people see him for the jokes he makes, and we love him for that in the media, but during his press conferences and stuff. But at his core, he is still a football coach, so that's number one, his responsibility, and good on him to go ahead and even give it to the star player, and that sets a precedent for anyone else on the team that hey, Tyreek Hill can get it, and so can you.
Yeah. Well, no, and for me, that's what I loved about it, is that Mike is going to call people up, because I've heard that behind the scenes, he actually does take his own mistakes hard. He does mother F players, you know, but we don't see that. But again, that's kind of like Chris Greer. I'm sure he may have some disagreements or something, but publicly, you probably will never see him say anything bad about anybody, because that's just not his style. And McDaniel publicly, like Spo, I'm sure Spo behind the scenes rips into people all the time, because that's kind of been known that he will do that. But publicly, will Spo ever rip a player? No, he'll never rip a player, no matter what. He'll just, you know, he'll PC work through it. You've been on that beat too, you know. And so it's just the way they're, but it's great. Now on the flip side, for me on the Tyreek thing, it kind of like, for me, Tyreek now is the Peanuts teacher. Wah, 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 wah. It's all just white noise. I was talking about it and yesterday, it's just white noise. It's just blank noise that I hear coming from him now. You know, I just don't want to hear anymore, oh, I'm going to be a terror to the Kansas City Chiefs this week, that, boom, boom. And he's the reason why they lost the game in that first Kansas City game. You know, Mike McDaniel may be ripping him for the second game, but the first game, Tyreek lost all by himself, pretty much dropping the bomb, which would have been points, 3 or 7, and the fumble, which was 7 points. He pretty much gave the game away himself, you know, that week. And then to tell me, you know, oh, I got to be better and all that. And, you know, he told the other podcast, oh, I got to be better off the field and all that. You know, we've heard all of this, bro. Talk is cheap. It's time to put up or shut up. Like I put out a few weeks ago, this is his last year here. They didn't ask for any money. They sent pretty much, this message was sent this offseason. You're not, you know, he wants Tua to change. Well, Tua didn't use him in Hawaii. He went with Teron and Jalen Ramsey, okay? I don't see Tyreek being a part of a lot of other guys' camps and all that kind of stuff. It's been kind of a quiet thing. They needed money badly in the offseason. They didn't even go to him. Message has been sent. He's on double secret probation. And over this next year, if he wants to play another year with them, he's going to have to be on his best behavior. So for me, that's where I'm at with Tyreek. It's like, dude, I know you're a hell of a player. How about dropping the baggage finally? You know what I'm saying? So like the talk is cheap. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I do like that he takes the coaching seriously. So that he does go out and say publicly, yeah, I mean, I need to be better. I took that to myself and that I need to improve and I need to show out for this team based on that. And he always seems to take accountability publicly. So we hear him in his press conferences. And I remember coming back from the bye last November when he got married. And then he was saying all this about, I'm going to be a changed man and this and that. And then now a lot of the stuff that we found out later, the paternity suits and the lawsuit with the Instagram model, that we know that stuff actually occurred before that. So he was coming off of it And then saying, okay, then we start finding out what those things were, what those incidents were that he was talking about, that he's going to change his ways from. But then he still had incidents that came after that, like the whole dispute over his divorce, alleged divorce. And then he's saying he never tried to do, and then the flicking of the unlit cigar and all this. The police had to be called to his house, and so that was after that. And then we have him saying again, sort of some all these things. It almost feels like a broken record. He keeps saying these things, but then the incidents keep popping up. So yeah, it's time to make it action instead of words that you want to hear from Tyreek as far as off the field. And then I think this draft will be telling if the Dolphins do take a wide receiver earlier than expected, because we don't look at we look at wide receiver 4. Okay, the Dolphins need a wide receiver 3. They've offered Odell Beckham so that he could be that third wide receiver after Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. But if we look at their draft needs as, okay, in the trenches, O-line, D-line, edge defender, because there's questions about Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb coming off their injuries. But if they end up going receiver earlier than expected, and it's not just for that wide receiver 3, then that could be that contingency plan for going forward of, all right, now this is a guy we're pairing with Jalen Waddle in the future, and his rookie year, he's going to be the wide receiver 3. Behind Tyreek and Jalen, but then future, it's going to be Jalen Waddle and insert whoever is that drafted receiver. So that could be interesting if we do see that Thursday or Friday night.
That would be that, you know, that I just want him to kind of cut all the bullshit out and maybe focus on everything here. And then maybe, you know, here's the other thing that came out today. He was insulted that Kansas City gave Pacheco the number 10 number. Did you see that one?
I didn't see that one, but it was funny because I always thought, oh, I see number 10, and I'm like, wait, Tyreek Hill? No, wait, he's on the Dolphins now. What's going on? Oh, that's Pacheco now.
So, that first year. Let me read it. Let me read you the quote. I have it here because I was going to talk about it later, but I figure I'd bring it up with you because he felt disrespected. Is what he said. He goes, Kansas City got a really good running back. He's a dog. You can hear and see every step he takes. He runs so hard. He told the Million Dollar Worth of Game podcast. I did feel disrespected when they gave him the 10, though. I didn't like that. There's only one 10 now. There should only be one 10 in your heart. See, and here's my problem with today's athlete, because it's not a Tyreek thing. This is today's athlete. Dude, you were there for 6 years. You weren't there for a career. 6 years is not a career, you know? And by the way, just for fun, in 6 years, ready? 1239 and 9, 1276 and 15, 860 and 7, 1479 and 12, 1183 and 7, 593 and 6. Those are yards and touchdowns. 2 years in Miami, 1799, 13, 1710, 7. Brother, you're building a better legacy here than you were there, actually, to be quite honest. But again, in six of your years, two of them, you got 860 and 593. Your first year and your fourth year, where you only played 12 games. So you have two of your 4 years that were substandard years as it is. How do you expect them to retire or put the 10 like, yeah, you won a title, big deal. You weren't there for a whole lifetime. You weren't there for like 10 or 11 or 12 years, and then you went somewhere else for your final year or two and then retired or whatever. No, then I can understand. But 6 years and really only four dynamic years out of the six, we're supposed to like retire your number again, kind of like Frank Piega, un descaro.
You have him by name and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. 6 years. I mean, I'm thinking in football terms, that's more than in other sports. I do think of like Chris Bosh with the Miami Heat. His number, it hangs in the rafters at what is now Kaseya Center. So, and he ended up, I mean, he was there for the four of the big three, and then he had the blood clot starting the next couple of seasons. So kind of like six-ish So I'm just thinking of a comparison. Yeah, I mean, it was six Pro Bowl seasons, all of them for Tyreek Hill. I know he had, early on it was as a returner and then an elite receiver. And then obviously things ended the way they did. Now, Chris Bosh, things ended on good terms between him and the organization. Just he had the health concerns with the blood clots. He would have been with the Heat much longer had it not been for that. Tyreek Hill, he was looking for his money, and then he ends up getting a trade so that he could get paid the highest wide receiver salary with another organization. Dolphins were willing to pay, so that's how he ends up here. So, yeah, I mean, different terms that they leave their organizations on. And then the Chiefs, they go and they win two Super Bowls back-to-back once he's out of there, and they have another number 10. So, now, Tyreek Hill was there for a lot of playoff wins, a lot of playoff runs, and one Super Bowl that was won at Hard Rock Stadium. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of a fringe on the border legacy for Tyreek Hill in Kansas City as far as.
They won two without you. You left right, and they kept winning.
Now, they had to make the decision on the jersey before winning those Super Bowls. So they did allow it before that, before they had access to that information. But it is telling then to go and win back-to-back Super Bowls after that, which I know he talked about as well, it bothered him a little bit at first, and then that he was able to eventually get over and really honestly wholeheartedly congratulate his former teammates.
You're a piece. You're not the most important piece. You're not the reason. Yeah. You just helped along the way like all the others. But we all know the reasons why you're winning. It's because of Brett Veach. It's because of the head coach and because of the quarterback. That's it. It's your front office, your head coach, and the quarterback, and Chris Jones. That those are the reasons why the Kansas City Chiefs are the Kansas City Chiefs, bro. You have a Mahomes and a Chris Jones. You have an Andy Reid, bro. Are you kidding me? I mean, that those are centerpieces. Everything else is interchangeable.
As far as the pass catchers, he was felt to be number two to tight end Travis Kelce. As far as what the Chiefs had in Travis Kelce at tight end, they deemed less replaceable anywhere else than replacing Tyreek Hill at wide receiver. Granted, they have all these ops and everything going on, and the wide receiver core hasn't been as strong in Kansas City since he left, but Patrick Mahomes still finds a way. He gets out of these midseason ruts with those guys, ends up pulling them up from their bootstraps and taking them to Super Bowls back-to-back seasons. So it's just more credit to him as a quarterback.
Yeah. All right. So where are you leaning now in the first round?
Yeah, I mean, I made my prediction in Sun Sentinel, and I'm sticking with it. Graham Barton I like as an interior offensive lineman who can maybe then in the future move to tackle once you don't have Terron Armstead. I know we've thrown out whether it could be Austin Jackson going to left tackle, going back there, and then maybe whoever you bring in is a right tackle later, or if it's just straight up going to left tackle. He has the positional versatility. He can play all five on the line. I think he's a good athlete that would bode well for Mike McDaniel's outside zone run blocking scheme. So I like him from those standpoints. And if it's a trade down scenario where you have him and Jackson Powers Johnson, and even if one of the D tackles is there, and you just and some of the other offensive tackles are around, and you just have a lot of guys that you like, I would love a trade down scenario to also add a third round pick. But if a lot of the guys that you're targeting are off the board, and I know Barton has also been creeping up some draft boards, so then maybe if you want him, you do have to take him there. But all that said, if Latu is there, if Byron Murphy is there, if Jared Verse would be there, which I don't think he would be, Latu would be more realistic, then you probably just have to jump on that and then just take them as a best player available, which also fills a position of need at 21.
Follow him on Twitter at David Ferronis. Make sure you call my friends at Welt and Rayom at 954-966-4646. Consultation is completely free. They can help you with personal injury, bankruptcy, homeowner property damage, condo damage, criminal defense, business owner claims, commercial litigation. They do it all. 954-966-4646. And subscribe to the Sun Sentinel and follow my man, David Ferronis, there. David, we will catch up on Friday. We'll get your thoughts on the Dolphins' first round pick on Friday, my friend. Have a terrific one. Appreciate you.
Excellent. Sounds great. Thank you.
You got it. There you go. David Ferronis with our Welt and Realm Miami Dolphins report.
This has been another session of the Welt and Realm Miami Dolphins report with David Ferronis. At Welt and Realm, they don't get paid unless you win. They handle complex personal injury claims caused by the fault of another in both state and federal courts. They handle auto, trucking, motorcycle, slip and fall, and bicycle accidents. Call 954-966-4646. Welt and Realm can help.
They can. They can help. They're ass kickers. Jesus, they are ass kickers. Luke Easterling will join us from Athlon Sports in a few minutes. Manny Navarro will join us at the top of the hour. Talk a little Canes. And by the way, we do want to remind you, Cutter's Edge Pro is a proud sponsor of our program. We love talking about William Quigley and the great people at Cutter's Edge Pro. Mike, everybody. Mike is a freakish designer. He walks onto your property, HOA complex, business, home, looks around, and already in his mind, it's like working. I'll put that there. I'll put this there. I'll put it there. And they design. I mean, it is just, it's a work of art, actually. And by the way, it's not just designing and building. It's also maintenance. You know, a lot of people out there, you may have some landscaping, but it's not kept up and you need some maintenance, need some help. We all need help, man. A lot of us don't have the green thumb. Call the people at Cutter's Edge Pro. They've got over 70 trucks. Dade, Broward, Palm Beach counties, 954-472-0622. Tree trimming and removals. Remember, we're starting to get closer to hurricane season. We're only a couple months away. You want to start clearing out. And listen, I don't want you getting on roofs and ladders, and you're getting close to sometimes some of you that live where you have power lines and all. Let the pros do it. Okay? So that way you don't get injured. And by the way, they're fully insured. So that way, if anybody gets hurt on your property, they're not suing you. They're fully insured. You know, by the way, if just out of curiosity, if you don't hire Cutter's Edge Pro, whenever you do hire somebody to work at your home, no matter who it is, you better make sure that they're fully insured. And they better prove it to you before they start working your home, because if they're not fully insured and one of their workers gets injured in your property, do you know they can sue you? Yeah. So it's strange. But these workers, they know the laws better than you do. Just telling you. So you got to hire responsible people like Cutter's Edge Pro. All right, 954-472-0622. Landscape design, outdoor lighting, irrigation, synthetic turf. If you own dogs like I do, the synthetic turf is the greatest invention of mankind. 30 seconds. We talk a little NFL draft with my man Luke Easterling from Athlon Sports. NFL draft analyst is next.
When presenting an award to an employee, athlete, executive, or fantasy GM, make sure you call Orvieto's Awards and More. For 35 years, these custom award specialists have been providing plaques, trophies, custom framing, while providing state-of-the-art laser and computerized engraving, UV printing, and glass crystal etching. They do all their engraving and printing in-house for quality control. Call Charles at 305-949-8098 or visit them at OrvietosAwards.com. Orvieto's Awards and More, where recognition is rewarding.
All right, we're back. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend, that is Luke. How you doing, baby? Feeling good?
I'm good, Big O. How are you, brother?
Good, man. Can't complain. We normally do it through phones, but now, you know, now we get to do video and audio and all that good stuff. So world has changed, and I appreciate you taking some time to talk a little draft. Let's get into it with the Dolphins, man. They pick at 20. Well, you know what? Before the Dolphins, I want to get your feel on the whole quarterback thing, because everybody's got different opinions on everything going on. And, you know, I'm more of a Drake May guy as my number two, not Daniels, but a lot of people like Daniels. Some people don't think that J.J. McCarthy should be taken so high, or Michael Penix, or that kind of stuff. So talk to me, first of all. Miami has nothing to do with quarterbacks or anything like that, but just because quarterback is such a hot topic, how are you viewing the talk of how many quarterbacks? Because in a way, it does affect Miami because they're rooting for
as many as possible.
Yeah. If you take it before 21. So, Luke, walk me through the way you're seeing the quarterback stuff, first of all.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Caleb Williams at one. I think at two, you could have a fun conversation about Daniels or May, and I'm fine with either of them, depending on your team, depending on the fit, and again, what happens behind the scenes, how comfortable you feel with the player and the person. If either of those guys go ahead of the other, you know, I don't really see a problem with that. I think those three guys.
I define what you're saying. If your offense needs more of a pocket guy, you're going to go May. If
probably.
You're going to be running –
RPOs and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. RPOs and boots and waggles and all that. Then you're going to go with Daniels. Is that kind of what you're talking at?
I think to a certain extent, but what I don't want to do is undersell the pocket passing ability of Daniels or the athleticism of Drake May, because I think it's too easy to get in this like, oh, Jaden Daniels is really fast, so he's a running quarterback who can kind of throw. And Drake May is, you know, the prototypical can stand in the pocket and deliver the ball, and maybe every now and then he'll escape for a few yards. And the film can say that to some extent, but really, if you dive deep into it, the reason that Jaden Daniels is even in this conversation at all is because of the growth he made as a pocket passer last season. Because he went from a guy who was just really fast and could run a lot of the time, and every now and then he could throw a good pass at Arizona State, to a complete player last year. He threw the ball as well as anybody from the pocket last year. He's making full field reads. He's going from one to two to three. All these people that say he's a one read, I don't see that. That's not what I see on film. So, and I think, again, Drake May is a better athlete than he gets credit for, too. So I don't know that it's specific to if you want a guy to run more often, take Daniels. And if you want a guy to stay in the pocket all the time, it's Drake May. I don't think it's quite that simple. I think it's a lot more about getting him in the room, getting them on the whiteboard, and your scheme matching up to what he does well in terms of processing, in terms of the plays he likes to run. And again, the human being as he fits in your locker room and all that. That's the stuff that I think will matter more than athleticism versus pocket passing, if that makes sense.
Okay. So how many do you expect to go in the first round?
I think all six of those top guys end up in the first round. It's just too important. And again, not all of them are going to pan out. History tells us that, right? But the way it's going to go, I think the top three guys go top three that we just mentioned. McCarthy is kind of the wild card, right? So in terms of the way I rank these guys, which is completely different, obviously, than the way it'll happen on draft day for these teams, but all three of those top three guys that we mentioned are in my top 10 overall players, right? So they're top 10 players, and I expect them to go 1, 2, 3. The next quarterback on my board is Michael Penix Jr. at 28.
Okay.
So he's a high second round grade for me at number 28 overall. McCarthy is at 30. So those two guys are barely outside the first round grades for me. I understand why they'll go in the first round. But then after those guys, Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler are like right next to each other in the 60s. So like down towards the bottom of the second round. So that just gives you an idea of how I view the quarterbacks. I expect J.J. McCarthy to be a top 10 pick anyway. I think that Bo Nix would be a really great fit in Denver, especially if they move back from 12. I think Michael Penix Jr. in Vegas would make a ton of sense, not necessarily at 13, maybe, but I think they could go tackle there and then maybe try to trade back into the late part of the first round to get Penix there. But I think when all is said and done, I think those six guys all come off the board in the first round somewhere.
Luke, is there a sleeper quarterback then, you know, a second, third day guy that you think, like, you know what, this guy aren't you know, a lot of people aren't talking about him, he's raw as hell, but maybe is there somebody out there you kind of like?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Spencer Rattler earlier. I think he might go a little higher than people think, just because I think all the physical tools are there, and I think mentally he's a much tougher player now than the guy we saw in the Netflix documentaries when he was a kid, right? I think he came out, and he'd be the first one to admit this. He was cocky. He was brash. And then he got humbled real quick at Oklahoma, right? He came out. He was number one overall pick as a freshman, right? We were like, oh, he's the guy. And Caleb Williams says, not so fast, my friend. And he ends up being humbled and going to South Carolina, having to transfer and having to work his way back up again. And he still played some damn good football at South Carolina. And so I think he's kind of been the lost guy. I don't really see a huge gap between a guy like Bo Nix and a guy like Spencer Rattler. I'd love to see Spencer Rattler land in, like, with the Rams, where he could sit behind, you know, Matt Stafford and then work with that Sean McVay offense. Right. I think he would be a fantastic fit there. But the other guys I'll mention, I think Michael Pratt from Tulane is a mid-round guy that I think teams will really, really like. Not doesn't have the high-end physical traits, but I think mentally in terms of his processing and accuracy and efficiency, I think he'd be a good fit somewhere as a future starter. The two guys that I'm keeping my eye on in terms of developmental quarterbacks, guys maybe day three where you're taking a flyer, Joe Milton III out of Tennessee, huge, great athlete, probably the best pure arm strength in the entire draft, just doesn't really know what to do with it yet and needs to figure that part out. So a great developmental guy. And a guy that nobody's really talking about, Davius Richard from North Carolina Central, is the deep sleeper to me. He had a really unfortunate, he broke his ankle or broke his foot in like one of the All-Star games, like after the season, which was a real bummer because we didn't get to see him work out. But go back and watch the tape. Davius Richard, he's got prototypical size. He's a great athlete, great arm strength. He's another guy on day three that I'd feel great about spending a fifth or sixth round pick and just letting him get in the building and develop.
I only ask that because that's where they could go to give competition to their backup quarterback. So that's right. A place where I think the Dolphins could go in the third day is something like that. That's why I asked.
Everybody should, first of all. Take a day three quarterback every year.
I agree. I totally agree. I hated the rules and how they've gone to the two-man quarterback roster. Now I think it looks like it's going back to three.
We never would have had Tom Brady. He was a fourth-string quarterback. It never would have happened.
Dude, I grew up that most teams had three to four quarterbacks on the roster most of the time because it behooved you. It's exactly what you said. Dude, take a quarterback late every freaking year. Work on – you might end up with Tom Brady.
Even if you trade him, even if you already have a starter, you develop a guy that becomes valuable and you can trade him.
I tell the story all the time. Ron Wolf, in one offseason, had Brett Favre, had Aaron Brooks, had Mark Brunell, and some dude named Kurt Warner. And he cut him.
Not bad.
Yeah, he cut him because he had too many quarterbacks and Kurt was still raw and he went to the Arena League and then he went to the Rams and the rest is history. But then he goes and trades Brunell to Jacksonville.
Aaron Brooks
to New Orleans. Yep. And he fucking drafts Hasselbeck.
Always. What could you get on day three that's more valuable than a potential starting quarterback?
And then he trades Hasselbeck.
Yep. Keep doing it.
And then he leaves, and then Thompson comes in. He drafts Aaron Rodgers, and the rest is history. And you know, and they've been so forward thinking on this with the whole Jordan Love thing. They get it in Green Bay for many, many years, and it started with Ron Wolf. And I have no idea if you're watching that man do that. How does everybody not say? Yeah, that's how you do it.
Right.
We need to do it that way. You know what I'm saying?
I agree, man.
Every year you should be drafting a third day quarterback, unless your guy in the back is so good that you're like, no, well, you know, we gotta trade this guy first before we draft another guy.
Right.
It's crazy. All right. So I've talked about this with many other guys, and I'll do the same thing with you. It's kind of a perfect storm. You never want to draft for need. But the Dolphins at 21 happen to be in a position where there's going to funnel linemen that are O linemen or D linemen, either a defensive tackle where you lost Wilkins or a pass rusher where you kind of need until you get Chubb and Phillips completely back. Right. You know, you did sign Shaq Barrett, and that's going to help a little bit, but you probably need to draft another guy somewhere. So, Luke, tell me a little bit about what you see at 21 for Miami. First of all, at offensive line, what's realistic for them at 21?
Yeah, I mean, you never want to reach for need, but you would really like the board to fall to where your needs, you know, meet the value, right? That's what the dream is on, especially in the early rounds. But no, I think they're in a great spot. I think, like you mentioned, offensive line, we'll start with offensive line, like you said, and whether they want, you know, a tackle to give them kind of long-term insurance behind Teron Armstead, who, again, is getting a bit older and he's struggled with injury. So you want to have a long-term solution at left tackle. You don't really want to miss out on anything there. Whether they need an interior guy. I look at a guy like Graham Barton out of Duke, who I'm sure Dolphins fans are very familiar with at this point, can play all five positions. He played left tackle. He can play center. He can play guard. So he's a guy that you can just kind of plug in anywhere. And I think he'll be on the board in that range. I think Pittsburgh could take him at 20. I think he'd fit there as well because they have similar needs across the offensive line. But if he's there, I think Miami should think long and hard about that. And then after that, there's a lot of right tackles that'll be available in that range. So it would be about whether or not they feel comfortable with whoever that is, whether it's J.C. Latham from Alabama or Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma or Talese Fuaga from Oregon State. I think he'll be gone. But Amarius Mims from Georgia. Amarius Mims, I think, is the most interesting one because he played right tackle at Georgia, but he played very little. I mean, he was a first-year starter last year and missed half the season with an ankle injury. But he's just massive and athletic and long, and so you've got all the physical tools are there. So with him, I think he's the guy at 21 where I would say, hey, that's the perfect guy to bring in, sit him behind Teron Armstead for a year, let him develop and learn how to play left tackle if that's what we need, and then we insert him into the starting lineup after a year.
Although I keep injecting this, I think Austin Jackson is your left tackle.
And again, if that's the case,
The young guy plays guard this year, and then next year when Teron leaves, you move Austin Jackson over because he's super athletic.
Right.
And his confidence now is soaring because he now has the coaching. And I think he can play left tackle. I really do now. Even though it didn't go well for him early, but that's because he didn't have the foundation. He wasn't physically there.
It shouldn't go well for anybody early, really. That's a hard position to play.
That is very true. But he can do it. Hell, dude, he was pulling 30, 40 yards downfield last year. I mean, this guy's athletic as hell. And then what you do with the youngin that you draft, he plays guard this year for now because you kind of need the help there.
Yeah.
And then next year when Teron leaves, you pop Jackson to the left and the young kid in his second year goes to right tackle.
That in that scenario, I would love to see J.C. Latham there because he is huge. And I think he would play guard really, really well right away. And then he could bounce right to right tackle, which is where he's been at Alabama, and that would be pretty seamless. So I think in that scenario, he would probably be the best fit, and I think it's possible that he gets there. Obviously, you want as many quarterbacks, as many receivers and stuff to go ahead of them to push those tackles down the board, but I think that would be a great fit in your scenario.
Yeah, I think so. All right, now I'm pass rusher. Dude, I love Jared Verse. I just, unless, you know, we can sneak a crack pipe in front of him like they did with the offensive lineman, then maybe he'll fall to 21.
No gas mask situation for Jared Verse. Okay.
You tell me, because some people think Verse will be there at 21. I don't, so I'm kind of leaning more. I love Latou. But you tell me, what do you like, Luke, at 21? What do you think fits what the Dolphins do, and what do you think is a good pick realistically at 21 on the pass rushing side?
Yeah, I think Dallas Turner, Latu, and Verse are all gone. I just don't see it. Really? Even Latu, I think, I know he's an older player. He's 23, 24. I know he's got the injury history, from earlier in his career at Washington, but he's been able to stay healthy, and he is the best pure pass rusher in this draft off the edge in terms of technique, in terms of effectiveness and preparation mentally and physically. Like, he is a complete player, and he knows what he's doing. Like, he's not coming in with that raw rookie, I have all these physical traits, so I just don't know how to use them. That's not Latu at all. He knows. He knows what he's doing. And I don't see a guy like that staying on the board that long. I can't see him getting past so many teams in the teens who need that type of player. And Verse, very similarly, right, where he's just so polished, such a complete player against the run. He can rush with power. He can rush with speed. He's got production. So did Latu. Those three guys, and again, Dallas Turner with his athleticism and upside, I think he's long gone too. So I think at 21, you're talking about Chop Robinson from Penn State.
Good player.
And that becomes way more of a projection, right? Because you're talking about elite athlete, elite explosiveness, but just very little production and very little finishing, right? Very little translating that athletic ability into actual production and actual finishing a sack. And seeing that produce, so it's just so much more of a projection with him. Obviously, the upside is there. There's a ton of upside with that, those kind of physical abilities.
I like Chop Robinson. I like his potential, but in the Dolphins scenario,
that's right.
It doesn't make sense. You need Latu or Verse more because they will transition faster, and you actually need a transitioning player at the pass rushing position a lot faster because of Phillips and Chubb's situation. You need somebody. You cannot have more of a – that's why Chop, while I like him, I don't think it fits what the Dolphins will do because he's more of a project for a year or two, and you don't have time for that right now. Your window's now. Chop doesn't fit your window now. That's the only thing I don't like. I don't like the situation.
Right. And also, he's really – I think his rookie year, he's a sub-package guy. I think he's a third-down rusher because he's not great against the run. He's not the biggest guy in the world, and I think he's still learning how to set the edge against the run. And so, again, a lot to work with there, but you're going to have to work with it. It's going to take some work and some time. And like you said, I think in Miami's scenario.
You're Kansas City – you can do that at that right. spot.
You or can your do team that. On the other side, right, where you know you're 2 or 3 years away, and so you're planning for that anyway. You can take a guy like that. But, yeah, I think for Miami – and, again, that I think will lead us to the interior, right? If they're going to go defensive front, that's where I think it makes the most sense because I think Byron Murphy's probably off the board by then.
Okay.
But I think it becomes Johnny Newton from Illinois, who, to me, he is a top 10 player in this draft overall. I think he is one of the best. I think he might actually be the top defensive player on my board, period. And so the big question with him is the Jones fracture, right? He's got a foot injury. He had surgery. Is he going to come back from that? How easy is it to re-aggravate that injury? I know there's going to be some concern there. Maybe he's a little undersized, but, man, when you turn on the tape, you want to see a game wrecker. You want to see the guy that if I had to replace Christian Wilkins, I would look at that guy's tape and say, that's the guy. He can do that. That's what Newton did at Illinois. And I think if he was there at 21, that would be an easy pick for me if I'm Miami because I just think it fills their biggest immediate need on defense, and I think the value is great.
I think Newton actually has better pass rushing skills than Wilkins.
I think
Wilkins might be the better run stuffer.
Mm-hmm. He's bigger. He's got the bigger frame, so that helps. But I agree with you, man. Newton is such a polished pass rusher, man, and he's nasty. He's a violent dude. Like he's the type of guy that nobody wants to line up against. It's going to be a long day, and that's the kind of guys you want on your side.
Okay, second round now, where they're at. Again, it's the
inverse, right? Whatever they don't get in the first round.
because this is kind of why I like the linemen. I think, you know, unless Verse or Latu fall to you at 21, which I freaking love those guys. But if you do get a lineman, I've noticed that the defensive tackles in that part of the draft might have an option there.
Yep.
Also a defensive tackle. So talk to me either about defensive tackle, pass rusher, linebacker, offensive lineman. I think those are areas where you might be able to fill at that spot.
Yeah, I think so too. I think particularly along the defensive line, if they don't go Newton at 21, maybe they go offensive line. I like Chris Jenkins out of Michigan. Obviously, his dad was a very good player for Carolina for a long, long time at defensive tackle. That's right. He did. Yeah. So that you could bring that home with Chris Jenkins. I love him. Braden Fisk, if he's still on the board, I don't know that he'll make it that far out of Florida State. He's a guy that, honestly, I think compares very well to Christian Wilkins. Very similar frame, similar athletes. Had great production at Florida State. I think those two guys I would love to see. Michael Hall Jr., if they're okay with a little bit more of an undersized guy at defensive tackle out of Ohio State. I like him a lot. In terms of edge rushers, Chris Braswell out of Alabama, Adisa Isaac out of Penn State. Are two guys that I think on the back half of the second round would make a lot of sense to them. Linebacker is going to be, I think, a sweet spot there in the mid to late second round. I don't think we'll have any linebackers off the board, probably in the top 40 or so. And then you start to talk about Edgerrin Cooper from Texas A&M, who I love, Junior Colson from Michigan, who I love, Peyton Wilson from North Carolina State, if they're okay with the medicals, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Man, there's so many. How many guys in this class do I have to say junior afterwards and then the gray hair just continues to grow? Because I watched their entire father's careers. I'm so Frank Gore Jr., Marvin Harrison Jr., Jeremiah Trotter Jr., Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's son is in this draft.
Chris Jenkins.
It's in ridiculous. Chris Jenkins. There's so many. I can't deal with it. I can't.
Yeah, no. Trust me. I'm like you, a little older. So I've seen the.
Look at that picture of me. It's a great reminder of how old I've gotten. Look at this.
The father, the son, and then the grandson. I'm already at the grandson part. Now,
I can't wait for Frank Gore III here.
Yeah. So I'm already at the grandson part at times. So yeah, it's crazy. I've gone through it myself, man. All right, so Luke, we'll close it out with this. Give me a sleeper in the third day that you're thinking about, whatever it is, any position out there that you're like, this is a guy I love in the third day because of this. Who is it?
All right, so I'll give you a few because I love these questions, right? And the first pick is a homer pick because I went to the University of South Florida, and I love Donovan Jennings. He's an offensive lineman out of USF. He can play guard. He can play tackle. He's a great athlete, had a phenomenal pro day down here in Tampa. And again, just an experienced guy. Again, played a ton of snaps, has a ton of starts under his belt, and can play multiple positions. I think somebody's going to be really happy on day three when they get Donovan Jennings. Bo Braid is a safety out of Maryland who I really, really like. I think he's a top five safety in this class. I think I'm in the minority when it comes to ranking him that high. But he's just a hard-hitting guy, great athlete. He can play in the box. He can play single high. He can do a lot of things. And then I look at the running back class because I think the running back class is very interesting in that there's not the top heaviness that we saw last year with Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs, the guys in the top. But I see a big group of those guys in the third or fourth round. So if I see a guy like Audric Estime still on the board in the fourth round, I'd love to see him in a place where we'll take advantage of his power and his explosiveness between the tackles. A little bit of a deeper sleeper there. I like Isaiah Davis from South Dakota State, another power guy between the tackles who can also be explosive. He ran against so many closed boxes, so many loaded boxes in college and still churned out a ton of yards. So he's a guy that I think could be a really great complimentary back. If you've got kind of like a lightning guy, an explosive guy in your backfield, and you add a guy like Estime or Isaiah Davis as the power back, I think you'll be really happy on day three.
You know, that's interesting that you mentioned power back because that's something they drafted last year, Chris Brooks, and right. I like him a lot, actually. He's got great vision, which blew me away. I was actually disappointed they didn't use him a lot because I thought they needed a little thunder because, you know, Mostert and Achan, that's a lot of lightning.
You got all the lightning you need.
All lightning you need, so you need some thunder, and I thought they would use Chris Brooks, so maybe they bring in somebody like that in their third day picks to give Brooks a little competition because I think the power back is one area where Miami needed to improve and dedicate themselves a little bit more to the short yardage game.
Yeah, I completely agree. Again, either of those guys on day three would make a ton of sense. That's the fun part of the draft. I mean, once you get into those later rounds and you can find those gems that end up making a big impact, we've seen it with Isaiah Pacheco and Puka Nacua in recent years. You can find guys that can make an immediate impact if you know what you're looking for and how they fit with your scheme and team. That being able to find guys on day three that make an immediate impact tells me that a team knows exactly what their identity is and they can identify guys that fit the culture, fit the scheme, fit the locker room, because that's how you make that impact so quickly.
Luke, if people want to keep up with you over at Athlon Sports, what do they got to do, man?
Yeah, come over to athlonsports.com. We've got I just dropped a new four-round mock draft just this morning, so you can see that over there right now. I've got all my positional rankings up. I got my big board up, so all of the rankings, all the top 300 players in the entire draft, so we go well beyond the 250 or so that are going to actually get drafted. I've got them broken down by position as well. If you haven't already, go pick up our draft guide. I know a lot of people out there have been reading those for years. So I got to be heavily involved in making this year's magazine, which I absolutely loved. So go buy one of those. And again, come on over to Twitter, X, whatever the hell they're calling it now. And follow me at Luke Easterling. Let's talk some NFL draft.
Luke, as always, man, great stuff, my brother. I appreciate you immensely. We'll catch up down the line, my friend. Have enjoy Christmas in the NFL this week.
Thanks, man. Can't wait for it. And can't wait to sleep for like a month after I'm done.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it.
Take care, man.
You got it. There you go. Luke Easterling, man. Athlon Sports talking little NFL draft, as we promised that we would talk a little NFL draft. We had Tony Pauline and Charles Davis yesterday, Chris Trapasso today, Luke Easterling today. Tomorrow, Kyle Krabs, Jeremy Fowler from ESPN will join us. I promised you that we would give you a nice list of guests and talk plenty of draft, lots of nuggets, which is exactly what we keep dropping, okay? Remember, we're giving away a pair of tickets at the Seminole Casino Hotel in Immokalee. Stephen Marley is performing on May 4th at the Seminole Center Outdoor, which is going to be awesome. He's got a new album. It's called Old Soul. and Inner Circle, bad boys, oh, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do when they come for you? They are opening up for the great Stephen Marley, 8-time Grammy Award winner. If you want to go, use that QR code there. And if you want to win a pair of tickets, please send me your full name, your number, and your email to my DM on Twitter at Big O Show, or on Instagram, Big O Radio Show, or Threads, Big O Radio Show. DM me in those. Send me your full name, phone number, and email. Remember, the Seminole Casino Hotel in Immokalee is in northern Palm Beach County. So if you live in Dade or Broward and you're not willing to drive, don't go for the tickets, okay? So, you know, as long if you're really going to the concert, you're going to hang out with us, because I want you to hang out with us. Be a nice outdoor place. Look for us. I'll be there with the wife. We'll be grooving. It's going to be an awesome concert. I feel good now. I can stand. I can actually go to these concerts and really enjoy myself, you know? So we're going to have fun, bro. I'm going to be grooving with the wife. So, you know, you guys can go out there and join me. So send me your info and I'll pick a winner. The winner I pick, I'll tell you, and I'll tell you where you can get your tickets. And you'll be joining me for Stephen Marley. You're going to have a great time. So check it out. All right. Appreciate you all out there. All right. Manny Navarro will join us at the top of the hour. Let's get to our 3A Graphics sports calendar. Why don't we? Alan Blanco and the great people at 3A Graphics, 786-618-1443. You need uniforms for your business, maybe T-shirts for your fantasy league. Maybe you're having an outing, a picnic, and you want to get T-shirts for the company or whatever. They do it all. There are 3A Graphics. Maybe you're printing magnets and calendars and pens and all that kind of stuff that you want to give your customers. 3A Graphics can do all of that for you. Call them, 786-618-1443. Support the amazing sponsors that support this platform. Braves over the Marlins yesterday, 3-0. Tonight, they will continue the set. Trevor Rogers, Max Fried, 7:20 first pitch. Lightning and Panthers tonight at Amerant Bank Arena at 7:30 is the faceoff. Panthers favored by a goal and a half, plus 142 there. If you want to give the goal and a half. Wednesday, the Miami Heat are back in action to take on the Celtics on the road for game 2 of their Eastern Conference playoff series. Last night, Cavs over the Magic, 96-86. They're up 2-0 in the series. Knicks over the Sixers, 104-101. Knicks up 2-0 in the series. They actually work hard in the regular season and in the postseason, unlike a team that I know in town. The Denver Nuggets defeated the Lakers on a last-second shot by Mr. Murray. 101-99. Denver is up 2-0. So there you go. Tonight, Suns-Wolves at 7:30, Pacers-Bucks at 8:30, and Mavs-Clippers at 10 o'clock. That's what's going on. That's your 3A Graphics sports calendar. Lewis Katz, thank you, sir, for the love. On the super chat. Very nice of you. Very nice of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Remember, you can make a donation through Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. Like Steve M. I love the Trumpies. Like, he's a Trumpie. Like, I have a couple friends of mine that are Trumpies. And when I have fun with them, he's like, Biden visited a convenience store today trying to copy Trump. And I'm like, why should I care? I don't care about Biden or Trump. I love the Trumpies. Like, they need to pick on Biden because they, you know, their own candidate. The only thing I would say to Hateful Steve, look, as long as Biden doesn't copy him with insurrection, we're good. You know, copy anything, but not insurrection. That's all, Hateful Steve. But thank you for the super chat, Hateful Steve. I appreciate you. Isn't it funny? Like, one's got to pick on the other, and it's like, yo, bro, I don't really care about either one. Ah, Trumpies. Anyway, a lot of teams draft QBs that don't fit their system, or they just draft shitty QBs. So, Let's see. Don't blame NFL franchises for the drafted QB bust. Michael Jordan didn't go to a stellar team. How about building it together instead of asking for accommodations? So Tampa shouldn't trade for Tom Brady? Is that what you're saying? Win. I don't care how you win. I don't care if you drafted the guy. I don't care if you traded for him, but, you know, that's kind of the way they do things nowadays. They want to join teams to, you know, they go ring chasing. It's kind of what they do nowadays. What are you going to do? You know, the Michael Jordan thing, it worked out for him. They ended up drafting some players, but then they also acquired Dennis Rodman for the second half of those three championships. You needed Dennis Rodman, you know, so you acquired him. And he was kind of a hired gun in those days. You know what I'm saying? So it just, I don't care how you win, bro. To me, it doesn't matter. I used to hear that from when the Heat were winning, and then Warriors idiots were like, well, we built our team naturally. You guys had to go trade for it. Like, who gives a shit? And then they go and trade for Durant, all that, and now they shut up. San Antonio did the same thing. They were fortunate that they were able to do it from within. It's the only way they're ever going to win. But then they had to then start buying players. Because, you know, now, and then they were lucky again that they sucked, that they ended up with the number one pick and ended up with Wemby. And that's how you can help turn your franchise around. But if you don't, you're going to have to trade for players. So the dumbest thing I ever hear from fans, you're going to complain about how you build a winner? It's a winner. Who gives a shit? The 03 Marlins were mostly built from within, right? You only had Pudge and Urbina and Redman and, you know, just a couple of pieces. Everything else was from, you know, young guys and the fire sale from 97. Now, the 97 championship was bought. You had a couple of pieces, Charles Johnson, you know, a couple of things that were there from, you know, from the youth. But even Luis Castillo wasn't ready for that championship. They sent him to the minors, and he was ready for 03. You know? So it's just like but do I give a shit about 97 or 03? It's still two titles. Silliest thing in sports. Well, oh, we built ours from the draft. Well, sometimes you can build from the draft, and sometimes you're going to have to trade for it. Who cares? Front office got it done one way or the other. That's all that matters. Hour number three, Manny Navarro, next.